Well, I have to remind you all, today is Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. It's a day that gets us in trouble. If you doubt me, forget a card, forget a box of candy or flowers or something like that. And I don't know about you, I don't need anything more to get me in trouble like a secular holiday. We love the cards, those romantic words that come flowing out that most guys don't even think in those categories, let alone speak those words. Personally, I'm much more forthright, much more direct. Like if your significant other says, "Do you love me?" I'm still here, aren't I? I'm not recommending that. Or if your significant other is looking and says, "I think I've gained a little weight and I've got some wrinkles around my eyes." Now, of course, you want to be truthful, but saying something like, "You got good eyesight," probably is not going to work. Seriously, though, you know, words are certainly important. We can't deny that they are formative, that they're transformational and foundational, particularly in the Christian life and in our worldview. Think of creation. For you, words are spoken over you and change you from alien to child, from stranger to beloved in the very kingdom of God. If we think beyond ourselves and we think into the wider scope of things, we think of all people, the creative word spoken into being that which was not and declared it to be tov mahod, very good. These are typical examples of creation that find the source outside of ourselves. They're sourced in the very divine being, the unchanging, the uncompromising, the violous, unconditional promise based in the very essence of who God is. Unfortunately, all words, too, are the same. They're based on the very essence of who we are. And this is exactly where St. John warns that there is an absolute necessity for those words and for those actions to be in perfect harmony, revealing that which has been first given in Christ freely, abundantly, and unconditionally to you and to me and to all people. Christ revealed this new kind of love, one beyond imagining or even speculation, a love that's not linked to an Old Testament anti-type love of neighbor, as that would have limited his sacrifice to nothing more or less than some action with some sort of Calvinistic uncertainty. Instead, it's a love that's commanded, linked to the type. It's linked to the love for all demonstrated undisputedly by the universal sacrifice of the very Son of God for friend and foe alike. All are covered by that precious blood outpoured on the cross. The Father love that his only begotten Son was not too high a price to pay to offer that gift of eternal life to all people. As the Father welcomes all, so is the new commandment revealed in Christ, to love even the enemies. Yes, this is a new kind of difficult command that's found in Christ, that's found in the life and the resurrection and on the cross of Christ. But this is also a new aneos in time, as the love that came part of you, as the Holy Spirit became resonant at your baptisms. It's in this power of the Holy Spirit that such love can overcome our very own natures and be shown, yes, that love shown even to our enemies. And don't mistake me, you know, that I know that there's no doubt that this is absolutely no easy task. As we struggle against our own natures, our own goals, our own urges, our own schedules and needs, this new commandment to love enemies really and truly, if you think about it, eviscerates hate. Hate, like darkness, is deprived of its own existence in many ways. Let me explain. You see, darkness is merely an absence of light. The light that reveals and stimulates, and when it is absent, will cause blindness, as John's epistle declares, darkness has blinded his eyes. Hate, too, is redefined and made vacuous. You see, hate is no longer confined to an action. It's no longer an animosity expressed in some way or another, but in fact is revealed on the cross of Christ to be nothing more and nothing less than a lack of love. And it is exactly here that we get convicted, both individually and corporately as the body of Christ, as church. I can give you an example. Neighborhoods change, yet many of our congregations do not, as witnessed by the growing cities and yet our declining footprint in them. Who really wants to deal with those who are different, that have strange languages and names that can barely be pronounced? Those who are aliens to our close-knit community that we call church, and God forbid, maybe even a bit smelly, and they can't or they won't support our programs. So we kind of think of, so what use are they? And very honestly, we do love the soup kitchen, going out for an afternoon or an evening to kind of serve the desperate or getting a rake in hand to clean up a vacant lot, or maybe even a nice prayer walk around the inner city, the blighted and neglected neighborhood that shows we really care. It certainly makes me feel very good. But then I go home. Is that love? A handout except in an emergency helps only the symptom, yet ignores the disease. A handout creates a dependency that is, in essence, in final analysis, a lack of love. Or in our new definition, hate. The necessary hand-up is love in action that is based on relationship, one with the other, with the lost, the poor, the hurting, and the disenfranchised. That is true love. That's Jesus' love. And this is exactly what Jesus did for us, for you and for me, when we were stuck in that poverty of relationship, caught in the mire of sin, wandering aimlessly as a blind man through a complex maze. He reached out those wounded hands, and Jesus claimed you as family, called you by name for eternity, and promising, never shall I leave you, never shall I forsake you. The point is that words and actions must go hand in hand. One without the other is like an empty drum, or alternatively, merely a secular work of no lasting importance. And Jesus highlighted this particularly when he spoke to St. John, who was sitting in prison getting ready to lose his head, and sends the disciples and says, are you the coming one, or should we seek another? What did Jesus say? Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. I think it really, Mark Twain says it best. Kindness is the language the blind can see and the deaf can hear. Faith spoken in the language of love, freely given, is the new command. It's not either or, but a both and. Confess the love of Christ in word and deed. Teach the word. Live the word. You are set free in Christ. It's in that freedom that you are released, that you're given true freedom to love unrestrained as you will first love for eternity in Jesus Christ. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.